come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant.
Good morning and welcome to this worship service of the North Lake Church of Christ. We are glad you are here, every one of you, whether you've traveled near or far, you are welcome here, and we are delighted to extend the Lord's hospitality to you and to each other this morning. This morning we do have our attendance pads here. We'd love to have a record of your attendance. They should be at the end of your row, so if you'll take a moment and sign your pads, we'll have a record of your attendance. We'd very much appreciate it. And we look forward to tomorrow evening, a Christmas Eve service here at the North Lake Building, a candlelight service at 8 p.m. tomorrow evening. Some folks have worked to prepare and plan that, and we hope you will join in that service. This is such a special time of year that brings families together, that brings us directly in line with the great news, the wonderful news that we have, the birth of Jesus Christ. As we share songs of praise and as we reflect on this story, let us remember the good news. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.
We have heard Luke's simple account of Jesus' birth over and over. Yet like a perfect diamond, It never loses its luster or wears out with time. To step into this story is to enter a world of miracles, to unwrap for the first time or for the 100th time the most precious of all God's gifts. In his second letter to the Corinthians, when thinking about Paul's greatest gift, the Apostle Paul reaches a point where he can contain his enthusiasm no longer. He exclaims, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Other versions and paraphrases have tried to capture Paul's expression in English. The King James Version reads, "his unspeakable gift." The Living Bible calls it the gift too wonderful for words. The Revised Standard, his inexpressible gift. Who can begin to describe God's tiny present, lovingly wrapped in swaddling clothes? Within Jesus' fragile frame, undiminished deity and true humanity existed together as God's supreme gift of grace to us. A gift too wonderful for words. God had already placed the divine seed in Mary's womb, and now he plants an idea in Caesar's mind that will begin to turn the wheel of world events. Now it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. The world packs up and moves at the powerful word of Augustus, who wants to register his subjects for tax purposes. That's what the headlines say anyway. We know the true story. God is moving the world to deliver a special package to Bethlehem, the place where the prophet Micah said the Messiah would be born. Of the sea of citizens who wash out of their villages and pour into their hometowns to register, Luke picks out one travel-weary couple, bracing themselves against the current of people swirling around them. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register, along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. Luke writes with such subtlety. He takes us from the marble throne room of Caesar to the teeming masses of humanity, to an unknown man and his wife, to an unborn child hidden in the darkness of his mother's womb. Who would have imagined such ordinary wrappings for God's precious gift? Who would have imagined the provincial setting into which the King of Kings was born?
Gentle Mary laid her child lowly in a manger. There he lay, the undefiled, to the world a stranger. Such a babe in such a place, can he be the Savior? Asked the saved of all the race, who have found his favor. Angels sang about his birth, Wise men sought and found him. Heaven's star shone brightly forth, glory all around him. Shepherds saw the wondrous sight, heard the angels singing. All the plains were lit that night, all the hills were ringing. Gentle Mary laid her child lowly in a manger. He is still the undefiled, but no more a stranger. Son of God of humble birth, beautiful the story. Praise his name in all the earth. Hail the King of glory. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christian, fear for sinners here. The silent word is pleading. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, present King, to own him, the King of kings, salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. This is the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the son of Mary.
Luke provides only modest details. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. For centuries, these two simple verses have filled the imaginations of devout artists and writers who've conjured up the most elaborate scenes. Arthur Kangear paints the scene the way it was meant to be seen, in human terms, without halos and glowing faces. By the time they arrive, the small hamlet of Bethlehem is swollen with an influx of travelers. The inn is packed. People feeling lucky if they were able to negotiate even a small space on the floor. Now it is late. Everyone is asleep, and there is no room. But fortunately, the innkeeper is not all shekels and mites. True, his stable is crowded with his guests' animals, but if they could squeeze out a little privacy there, they were welcome to it. Joseph looks over at Mary, whose attention is concentrated on fighting a contraction. "We'll take it," he tells the innkeeper without hesitation. The night is still when Joseph creaks open the stable door. As he does, a chorus of barn animals makes discordant note of the intrusion. The stench is pungent and humid, as there has not been enough hours in the day to tend to the guests, let alone the livestock. A small oil lamp lent them by the innkeeper flickers to dance shadows on the walls. A disquieting place for a woman in the throes of childbirth. Far from home, far from family, far from what she had expected for her firstborn. But Mary makes no complaint. It is a relief just to finally get off the donkey. She leans back against the wall, her feet swollen, back aching, contractions getting stronger and closer together. Joseph's eyes dart around the stable. Not a moment to lose. Quickly, a feeding trough will have to do for a crib. Hay would serve as a mattress. Blankets, his robe, that would do. And those rags hung out to dry would help. A gripping contraction doubles Mary over and sends him racing for a bucket of water. A scream from Mary knifes through the calm of that silent night. Joseph returns, breathless, water sloshing from the wooden bucket. Sweat pours from Mary's contorted face as Joseph, the most unlikely midwife in all Judea, rushes to her side. The involuntary contractions are not enough, and Mary has to push with all her strength. Joseph places a garment beneath her. With a final push and a long sigh, the Messiah has arrived.
Angels from the realms of glory wing their flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Saints before thee. Let's stand. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room.
For a few cherished moments, Joseph and Mary have the Savior all to themselves as the three of them snuggle together against the cold night. Across the sea, Caesar sleeps warm and secure between silk sheets in a kingly bed. He has no idea that a greater king has just been born, one who will establish an eternal reign of celestial magnitude. In all the universe, only a few know about the birth, and Luke gives us a peek into their responses. In that same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord stood round about them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." In the holy temple, Zechariah had seen the angel first. Then Mary beheld him in her room, and Joseph in his dream. Now the angel, perhaps Gabriel again, appears to the shepherds in an open field, ablaze with unearthly light. This ragtag group of field workers becomes an unlikely party of delegates to whom God's angel breaks the greatest news ever given to mankind. There has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Arthur Walter Weigarian tells what happens next. suddenly the sky split itself open. And like the fall of 1,000 stars, the light poured down. There came with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Peace to those with whom he is pleased." Into the calloused hands of these laborers, the news of the ages tumbles like jewels from heaven. Where is the royal child who sends these angelic messengers? Lying in a manger? An animal's feeding trough? He must truly be a king for the people of the earth. With hearts full of hope, they say to each other, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about the child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. And so, the first evangelists to spread the word about the precious Lamb are fittingly shepherds.
O holy night, the stars are brightly shining, it is the night.